We're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the motorcycle road racing podcast, the only one that, you know,
speaking
what,
of one, this is show 51.
I'm out of things to say about that. I'm out. I'm literally out of words.
I'll just say it.
What?
Show's got me. You should listen.
The show, show's what?
Show's got me.
Yes.
You should listen.
Why?
Because it's got me.
I'm missing something here.
Let me draw you a picture, Michael.
Do you remember the TV show Will and Grace?
Yes.
The producer, I have a quote from the producer, the creator of that show. He says, when asked why it was the show was about a straight woman and a gay man, he said, I was out of ideas about two straight people. We were just done. I was done. I had nothing. So I came up with something else. And, you know, hey, they made a couple bucks on that. Ed, you want to talk about wings? I want to talk about racing motorcycles and a little bit more about bikes we want to see. But I want to give a shout out to a friend of mine, Cody Burton. He sent me a link.
And Cody owes us Hickory Farms already. He's right. Gotten a shout out like 3 or 4 times.
And he's going to continue to do that because he's just a darn nice guy.
With the Hickory Farm. You know what, Cody? You can have a break. What? You can send us tiki treats.
Tiki treat? You want to just send? Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah. We get dog treats.
Yeah, treats are good.
Absolutely, keep Tiki happy. These little look. You use the word treats. Little man's eyes.
Sorry, I should have spelled it.
You know, I think he's learned how to spell it. He's like, he's sitting there scratching things out on the tile. Okay. Hey,
do I get to talk about winglets yet?
Yeah, not yet. Okay. But you might actually in the context of this.
Okay.
Cody sent me a link to an old GP race, one of the ones at Phillip Island. Again, we talked about what great a track Phillip Island is because it makes for great racing. And it was one of those few. People look at the 500cc era. It was always a battle at the front. No, there were runaways.
Most of them were runaways.
Yeah. But this was a good one. And he posed the question. These things look like they were totally evil to ride. And I'm not going to argue with that idea. Those things, most of them looked evil. But the question I pose to you, Mr. Sorbo, who's actually raced more than I have. Is it harder? Was it actually harder to race a 500 than it would be to get on Lorenzo's M1 or Marquez's RC and do their lap times? What do you think?
It's what I know. The answer is going to surprise you.
Hold on. I'm going to have to remodel the room to fit your fucking ego in here, dude.
It's actually kind of a cop-out on the answer.
Go ahead. Which is?
So at that level.
Uh-huh.
They're all equally hard. Whatever the limit of those bikes is, mm-hmm. those guys are riding some amount beyond it.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And just because when we watch Lorenzo, we see the bike in line perfect and it's no problem at all.
Right.
Frick, you watch him and you can't tell if it's a fast lap or an out lap. You know? Right? Right. That doesn't mean the rear tire isn't spinning all the time and that the front is wanting to close. Which is his worry of saying it's pushing.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's not having to change what he does to keep things going the way they're supposed to be going. So if you ride any motorcycle beyond its limit,
mm-hmm.
it's freaking hard
right.
and challenging and risky. The big difference between the 500s and the modern bikes is the rider aids mean that less of these guys get massive high sides and massive career enduring injuries. So that for sure, in that sense, the 500s were harder to ride. Because nowadays the odds are you're not going to get launched to the frickin' moon. You normally get like a little quasi high side and you kind of sort of land back on the bike and then maybe you fall off or maybe you keep going.
Right.
But back then you don't never.
Either way, it's new leathers.
One time this year we saw one guy get launched to the moon, the Suzuki rider at the French GP
Le Mans,
over
right.
the crest of the hill. Right. That was reminiscent of old school 500 GP bikes.
Right.
I remember a 500 race in Germany where two guys are together
yes.
and Shelley ran out of the corner and they both snap out and high side like synchronized high sides.
Right.
You got to think it was water or something. But anyway, you don't see that on these bikes.
The modern bikes, you mean?
Yeah, because yeah. electronics can predict that that's going to happen and then they cut back the power.
But to get it to go as fast or fast, like you said, at the limit.
To ride any bike up to its limit all the time and maybe a little bit beyond and whatever. So Lorenzo's thing is, here's 100%, right? He can ride at 99.99% all the time.
Right.
Marquez's thing is he goes a little ways past. He's at 101%. That means he has to come back to 98% for a little while to get back to zero
right.
again, right?
Yep.
He's jumping around, and Pedrosa is like Lorenzo, trying to sneak up on the perfect amount. If you're riding like that on anything, it's hard. So the difference is in what goes wrong, how hurt you get.
Right.
And if you or I, if regular people ride these bikes,
right.
the 500G bikes are massively harder to ride than the modern bike. You can't ride them out of the fucking pits without stalling.
Okay. On the other hand, like you said, you take either of those bikes, you take that modern bike, that M1 that seems like a kitten in comparison, and then you try to go do a 130.1 lap at Valencia.
And everything becomes, right, because the speed is so high.
Yeah.
Everything is harder. Focusing, keeping your vision from being blurry is harder. Breathing enough is harder. Hanging right. on to the bike because of the wind, it's all harder.
And, you know, and just figuring out, I mean, we talk about electronics. Yeah, that makes it safer, yeah. right? But then you got to know what the electronics are going to do.
It makes it safer by making it slower.
Yeah. And,
right? It cuts the thing back.
Yeah.
But if you have an opportunity to ride a 500 GP bike or a modern MotoGP bike,
right.
ride the modern MotoGP bike, take pictures of the 500. That thing will kill a normal person, where a MotoGP bike will just say, dude, you're not Eddie Lawson, but that's fine.
Exactly. Right? You'll get on the modern MotoGP.
Okay, here's a big difference.
Okay.
The way the power comes on.
Right.
So those 500s could make huge horsepower.
Right.
Probably close to the same power.
Oh, no. Not even close. They're 100 horsepower less.
Okay. They went 200 miles an hour, though.
Yep.
So power to rate ratio, whatever.
Okay.
The big issue is how they come on the power.
Yeah.
They cannot come on the power nice mm-hmm. like these bikes. Listen to the Yamaha boom out of a corner.
Right.
It's like
right,
it sounds
right.
like he's on the street.
Right. But at the same time, you've got a bike that comes on the power nice and smooth. Where do you open the throttle now? Now you're opening it at the place where your brain is screaming at you. We can't possibly open the throttle.
That's a different
here.
Kind of hard, though.
Yeah, I mean, right.
That's not a hurt you kind of hard.
No, it's not a hurt you kind of hard.
But I will tell you
but it's
that
a
when you
thing.
Ride a bike, so my 90 TZ
right.
had 2,000 RPM power band.
Okay.
And my 2,000 TZ had a much wider power band, but to run in near the front in AMA, I needed to be in 2,000.
Okay.
That is difficult in a way that when you do it right, it's really, really satisfying.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that I don't think I would ever be satisfied on a modern leader bike, because there's just not that precision required for the power part of it. Well, and then on the 250, there's also all the art of figuring out the gearbox, which somebody like mm-hmm. me really, really digs. So right. to answer your question, you know, you could answer the question both ways.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is we're way better off with what we have. And you can't ride those bikes anymore because there's no parts to repair them with.
Then there's one other thing that needs to be thrown in here. Part of the reason that we think the modern bike is safer is because guys aren't getting as hurt as badly. But that's 20 extra years of safety gear too.
You know, that's a thing that people don't think about, right? Is that the bikes were harder to ride and had the potential to high side you,
right.
and the leather sucked.
Yeah, the body armor now, right? was non-existent.
Take a
in
look
comparison.
At a picture of Freddie Spencer back in the day in the Arai, and you know, and that was the best helmet you could get at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And none of us would go out.
No,
that
we wouldn't ride on the street with that thing, right? You know, it'd be terrifying, spooky.
And the amount of you used to have to tape our visors down to
right?
keep the air from the wind from coming in.
Right.
Now spooky, that's never an issue.
Spooky tracks with hay bales. You know,
I
think I told you I went to Motegi, the Honda Museum there. A picture of some dude's 1978 Honda CB750 racer. He raced it at Daytona, and they had his leathers. I look at his leathers going, oh, no.
My first set of leathers, the padding in the leathers was made of that super useless foam.
Yeah.
It's on the arm rests of your couch stuff. It was nothing. It was just two pieces of leather.
Do you remember, Chris, I think I used this line before. Chris Ulrich calls it memory foam. Because if you crash and hit there, you're going to remember it for a long time. So I thought that was an interesting question that was brought up by Cody's email. Thank you, Cody.
And now he owes us doggy treats.
Yes, or Hickory Farms.
Yeah.
You know what? The Hickory Farms can be dog treats. But the
dogs... You know the problem is?
What?
When I give Tiki Hickory Farms cheese,
yeah.
he loses his mind. he's not drooling. There's a flood.
He's just out of his...
He knows that he has to sit to
no
given food.
No restraint.
And he sits and he's just vibrating, the poor guy. So regular treats are good enough.
Talk to me about wings, Ed.
Okay, so we've talked a little bit about the wings. We know that Michael just doesn't like them for aesthetics purposes. So my friend Bill Wickersham, who is a pilot.
I think the front fender is more evil.
And he has an aerodynamics degree. Mm-hmm. So this is science, this is fact. He pointed out to me that those wings are not operating only when you're going straight,
right,
reducing wheelies and adding downforce when you're braking.
Right.
They're actually working when you're in a corner.
Right.
And so the downforce that those two wings are producing, mm-hmm, is great enough that in a corner, mm-hmm, the front end would just slide out. Okay, so that force would be pushing across the surface.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be like throwing a stone on the water and it would skip. And the bike would just lose the front end, but the bike doesn't lose the front end. You want to know why?
Why?
Because by hanging off the inside,
okay,
the rider has blocked airflow on the inside wing. So the inside wing is no longer making the downforce, which is an upside down wing. It's producing lift, but
right,
it's going down.
Right.
That means that only the outer wing is pushing, and it's pushing more directly straight down onto the contact patch, and therefore negates the negative effect you would have of those wings. And that's just a little fact about how the aerodynamics are working that most of us didn't even think about.
Oh, no. You have to, and this leads to my real objection about wings and things like that on MotoGP bikes. You have to look at the whole racing vehicle as a package. You cannot say, there was a period in IMSA GTP racing where short circuits, everybody wanted a whole bunch of front downforce, so everybody started mounting wings on the front of the car. And then they finally, after a few races, this isn't any faster at all, put the thing in the wind tunnel, find that putting the wing on the front nose of the car was destroying the airflow over the top of the car, so now the rear wing doesn't work. You have to look at it as a whole package. Bill is absolutely correct. That's probably what the riders are doing. But here's my objection.
Hang on, though. Okay. The riders were already hanging off.
Right.
So the engineer, the aerodynamicist on the team, was able to use that fact so that he could make these wings work. Because if the riders weren't hanging off, the front end would just wash away. I'm going to go with what Bill knows over what you think.
I just, you know what? I'm not going to argue with Bill on this.
He's taller than you.
And he actually flies planes. You know?
Kick-ass planes, C-17, nighttime down low, knows, with goggles.
Knows people who have a fuel allotment that they have to burn at the end of the month.
He knows people that deliberately jump out of his airplane.
Right.
And like, it's guaranteed this plane is not going to crash, and yet these guys jump out.
And those people who jump out, they know seven different ways to kick me in the gonads.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So I don't want any part of that. But here's my objection. And like I said, it's not the wings. It's the ugly-ass front fenders on the Moto2 bikes. They are horrid. They look like some sort of alien blob thing is trying to eat the front wheel. But I digress. Here's a problem with aerodynamics, okay? Right now, believe it or not, a MotoGP bike...
Spoiler alert, I'm going to disagree.
Yes, why is that a spoiler? Right now, most of the stuff on a MotoGP bike has a fairly close relationship to your street bike, okay? And so, if you are the race team, you got to go, and again, this is how racing works at that level. You're the race team, you got to go to the board of directors and go, give us $50 million.
You already gave this excuse, and I shut it down by saying the aftermarket can sell the stuff.
No, it's not that. If you make it so that the winning bike has to have wings and an end, you're already spending $50 million on your program, now you go back to the board and say, we need another $20 million. And they say, why? And that you say, because now we need 3 24-hour-a-day wind tunnel programs going on.
It's prototype MotoGP racing, dude. It costs money.
Yes, but now you've added a whole bunch more money.
Dude, there's a ton of aerodynamics in those bikes even without the wings.
Right, and granted, all that, but you don't want to make it any worse.
Okay, we agree to disagree. What's next on the list? Why
Ed is wrong. That's on the list.
Check this out, folks. Michael and Sandy have multiple dogs and a cat. And I just noticed that on the refrigerator, held up with a magnet, is a sign that currently says dogs and cats are fed. But then below that, printed upside down, dogs and cats are hungry. And obviously they have to switch it back and forth
right.
so the other person knows whatever's going on. I'm thinking that's pretty cool, and I might be suggesting that to any of you who have kids or are about to have kids and maybe need a way of keeping track.
Right? Kids have been fed.
The kids are hungry. Kids are fed.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, because if your kids are anything like our dogs.
You know what? I'm going to one better. I'm going home and printing up a sign that says, husband is hungry.
Right.
Husband
even
is
better.
Fed.
Even
Thank
better.
You very much.
Right? Just be careful. Just be careful because you got to go to sleep sometime. You wake up going, why does my backside feel all sore? What's been jammed in there?
What's next on the list?
Why Ed is wrong. Let's see. Ducati still not a win. Yeah, they wasted all their money on wings instead of working on how to... Not bad. That was not bad right there. Let's see. Josh Hayes, excellent hair. I did another interview recently.
You have a thing about their TZ250. Let's talk about that more.
That's what I'm getting to.
Okay.
That's what I was getting to. I did another interview for Road Racing World, and it was another guy who went racing this year in AMA, a reasonable amount of success and a very small amount of money, and he was riding the new Yamaha R1, M1. That thing has become the production racer of leader bikes around the world.
Dude, I told you that when I came back from Australia.
I know. And it's just, but it's now we can see after a year, now we can see it in the results column. And the cool thing, like I said, you know, we look.
You didn't need to see results. Ed said.
No, Ed predicted, but we also, do we want to go back over the predictions where Ed was could not have been more wrong?
I predicted the success of the SV650 too in my first Road Racing World thing, yeah.
How come they're not selling them then?
SV650?
Yeah, they don't make any more.
Yeah, that's been 20 years. That's a pretty good run.
I would totally. If anybody of Suzuki from Suzuki is listening, you don't need to send us any Hickory Farms. Bring back the SV650S. Put the cheapest inverted fork you can find on. Who is it? Fast Ace? Call that.
No,
Fast Ace. Okay, just put. I don't care what kind of inverted fork.
Doesn't
you put
need
on
to be
thing.
Inverted. Regular fork is fine.
Oh, okay, you make one with regular forks for Ed. Okay, bring that bike back. That's
make one with damper rods. I'll make those things work
that,
just fine.
That's a bike that needs to be back in the lineup. I really miss my street SVs.
Okay,
I was looking at
the list.
I am the it's not. It's really good because it's a bike that anybody who wants to go racing can buy.
Yeah.
Don't have to spend a ton of money setting it up. Don't have to spend a lot of time setting it up. And it's, you know, it's not competitive with the super bikes, but it's competitive with anything.
You're preaching to the choir,
yeah,
dude.
I know. But okay. I love the idea.
Okay, what about TZs?
Same. It was the same thing.
What?
You look back at the old results columns from AMA races, which I've done, had to do recently. Just like TZ, 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 Aprilia, TZ, TZ, TZ.
Oh, well, that's because in America...
Right.
The tribal knowledge was in the GP class.
Right.
Was on TZs.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the 125 class, it was Hondas.
And now the tribal knowledge is going to be on the R1. The yep. R1 is the GSXR 1000 of this generation.
Yes.
I think.
Yep.
You know, and I just happened to see it, and I just thought that was really cool because that's going to allow people to race head, and that's what we want. We want to allow people to race without having to re-engineer a motorcycle.
To allow people to race, the people's race bike would be the R3.
Yeah.
The cost of any modern 1000 is prohibitive for most people.
Yeah, I think your problem is that it's an R3. You know, Dave Swartz pointed out the other day that a bone stock RC390, even the street version, makes more money, it makes more power than the Graves R3.
You know, that may be, but I rode my 250 Ninja in a race against three KTM 390s that are being raced in the AMA series.
Right.
And if I had had, so I had made a jetting change to my bike that made my bike stronger than it had been. Jetting change, because it has carburetors.
Carburetors are on the list,
yes.
Dude.
Anyway, with that gearing change, I predict that I can beat those guys. Now, I've since found out that those bikes have a restrictor. They can't use full throttle. But I got to assume that they weren't using full throttle in the Wira race. I mean, they were using full throttle. Anyway, my point is the KTM is not very fast.
It's not very fast, but I think I'd rather race one of those.
I'll smoke it with an R3. I guarantee it.
I want to talk to you about what a genius you are, Ed.
Okay.
Okay? Because we were talking weeks ago, we were talking, somebody had sent us a question, bikes we want to see.
Yes.
And you described...
The bike I want to see.
Damper rod forks, inline four. Very, very
simple. The bike I want to see is not some bike that I dream about.
Right.
It's a bike that I think can help bring back some of the larger numbers of participants in
yes.
our sport.
But my point was this, okay? You described a motorcycle, about 600 cc's, inline four, damper rod forks, nice
steel
body
chassis.
Work, steel chassis,
yep.
right? Simple, ready to roll, basically. Honda Motor Corporation went forward in time, listened to your comments, went back in time, and built that bike in 2014. The Honda CBR650F. It's the one that they're racing in the European Junior Cup. Right side up forks, damper rod forks, and talk about turnkey race bike, okay?
Can we get this bike in the States?
Yeah, they sell them here.
What's it called?
The CBR650F.
And it's an inline four?
Inline four.
Sweet.
It's
air cooled or water cooled?
Water cooled. Jet
and
pressure
fuel
for
injected.
Noise purposes. Yeah, fuel injected, yeah. Simple. Do you remember the old CB? It was CB400R with the cool exhaust that looked like the snakes. It was this beautiful, sinuous 4-into-1 exhaust system. The exhaust system looks like that. It's a great bike. And $84.99 is the list price.
See, the thing is, I wanted it to be $5,000, which is why I was saying air cooled fuel
right.
injection, simple fuel injection.
Yeah, I don't think we can get it down to $5,000. But I know you can get it for less than that out the door most places.
Well, if 89 is a street bike,
85
for a street bike.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that for crash street bikes, you're looking at $5,000,
mm-hmm.
and you know that can be doable.
Yeah.
And you know, I admit, water cooled is a lot nicer than air cooled, as for reliability and such.
Mm-hmm.
My point was, we needed a way for people to get in. You know, we can get in
right.
with 250 ninjas, 300 ninjas, and R3s, but
the response
just
is
not
like,
challenging enough.
Yeah, that's
right?
the response I just
yeah.
had when you mentioned the R3.
People are like, eh,
yeah,
you
right.
know, but a 600, you know, it's more power than you need, and yada yada yada, and then steel frame.
You
sure, it's heavier.
That thing all day
but,
long.
You know, and then sure, it's cool to have clickers and all that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
But I'm telling you, folks, I can make a damper rod fork do anything I want, and if I set it up right for you, you don't need
exactly,
any clickers.
Right.
Besides
yeah.
which, how many times have people made their bike worse with the clickers, right, than better? So this just makes it simpler, right?
All
so
right.
yeah, that's great. The problem we have, and I foretold on this. In my little box that they printed in the Road Racing World story about the SV, I was a riding model.
Okay.
Somebody else was writing the story. But I sent in a little thing, you know, and I predicted that this bike was going to replace the GT Honda Hawk.
Right.
And that the chassis guys were going to put big rims and big brakes and tires that stick to the ceilings on them. And the gearheads were going to port, we're going to put an exhaust system from hell, and we're going to port it so big you could roll a tennis ball through it.
Right.
And good time will be had by all. So the problem is that we get this bike, whatever it is, and some people start spending money like crazy.
Right.
And then it, you know, becomes the same problem.
Yep.
And so this is an opportunity for clubs to have reasonable rules that they can enforce to keep super sport really super sport, et cetera, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
and go for the, and I tell you what best way to do it, it's a money maker for everybody, is you make it a spec class. And you, Wira, whoever,
mm-hmm.
makes a deal with, you know, whatever manufacturer, a pipe manufacturer, a power commander, a mapping
exactly.
manufacturer, right?
That's
this is
yeah.
the approved product. If you purchase it from Company X, you get a discount.
That's exactly right? what the European Junior Cup people do.
And if you show up with that bike with different stuff, you can ride in the superbike class or whatever.
Yeah.
But you can't ride in the spec
what
class.
What you actually do in the European Junior Cup is you get the bike. You buy a kit.
As a kit. That's what they do in Canada.
Yeah.
Which is, you can do it either way. You can make it as a kit, or you can let the people pick the parts. Like what I'm saying is,
right.
if you want an exhaust, it has to be brand X in
right.
order for you to get to contingency or whatever.
Right. Or to be in the
if
class.
If you want to show up without the exhaust and the stock exhaust, that's fine. You can
right.
be in the class.
Right.
You don't have to buy the whole kit.
Right.
This allows people to spread out the cost.
That makes sense.
Right.
But if you show up with brand Y exhaust because it makes an extra half
then
a
you
horsepower.
Can race in the other class
right.
that the bike is legal for, but not in this spec class.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
All right, we are about out of time on this one, I think. Is there anything I wanted to add to this? Honda GP, engines, endurance, monocoques. No, that's all next time. Hey, Ed, in the next podcast, we're going to talk about a frame style known as the shrimp shell.
Some kind of, what's it called? Monocoque?
Yes, when it's on the exactly.
Outside? There's a lot of potential there. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that freak out about the aesthetics of motorcycles.
Oh, don't even get me started on that front fender.
You know what I just realized
the
real issue is?
What?
It's much harder to work on the bike.
We'll talk about that next time when we meet with Ed Sorbo from Lindemann Engineering.
And Michael Gugis.
Aloha.